This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. In the last year, many Wisconsin communities have seen retailers add cannabidiol, or CBD, products to their shelves or new stores popping up exclusively for CBD sales. But local sources in the legal and criminal justice community say the laws around CBD aren't straightforward, and they're complicated further by CBD's close connection with marijuana. Joining us in studio to talk about the legality and medical effectiveness of CBD are Dr. Brent Bauer, Research Director at Mayo Clinic's Integrative Medicine Program in Rochester, Minnesota, Jeff Glazer, an attorney and Clinical Associate Professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic, State Senator Patrick Teston, a Republican from Stevens Point, and Tim Murphy, owner of Kickapoo Kind, a CBD retailer in Viroqua. Dr. Bauer, I wonder if you could start by talking a little bit about what CBD is.
Well, it's one of the cannabinoids. Those are the types of chemicals that are common in marijuana. And, of course, we have right off the bat some challenge because marijuana can be the cannabis plant with THC, but there's also the cannabis plant without THC. And that's where most of the CBD is coming from, the hemp plant.
And Tim, I wonder if you can expand about maybe what people are using CBD for.
You're seeing a lot of people using it for all kinds of stuff, especially anxiety, pain, depression, inflammation. It is such a broad range. I can't even start to limit it to a few things. I mean, old, young, it really can range. I'm totally drawing a blank right now, but it definitely can range, top to bottom as far as health issues. I've used it on poison ivy myself just to see if it would work or not.
And so for people who aren't really familiar with CBD, I mean, what forms does this product come in?
Most popular is probably the oil. Most people have heard of that. It comes in capsules, smokable form, vapable form. Edible form. I believe Carl's Jr.'s has a burger. So there's brats. I've seen beef jerky. I've seen, you name it, I've probably seen a product that has CBD in it. Drinks, brownies, just such a broad range of products.
And Dr. Bauer, I wonder, just from a medical research standpoint, what do we know about CBD and what it does?
Well, we have a lot of preliminary data, and I think some of the things just mentioned, there's some what we call case reports where physicians or researchers have published accounts of one or two or five or ten patients who took CBD or a CBD product and reported some improvement in anxiety, pain, sleep disorders, and so forth. So there's a lot of interest from those preliminary studies, but what we're right now lacking are the long-term, large-scale trials where we can really start to answer the question of where is the efficacy and also where are the risks and adverse effects.
I want to dig more into, the medical issues surrounding CBD a little later in the show. But, Tim, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about why you think we've seen such a boom of businesses offering CBD products and consumers seeking those out.
It's legal. And it's become slowly legal in states as they adapted the hemp program. Then it would allow people to sell it. That's one of the biggest reasons you're starting to see mainstream retailers sell it. Other words, people are seeking relief from maybe something they couldn't find from the pharmaceutical companies. That's one of the biggest things I hear, too. People have been taking this medicine or taking that medicine for X amount of time and still find no relief. All of a sudden, they took CBD, and it was a whole world of difference. So I think that has something to do with it, too.
Senator Teston, I wonder what your thoughts are on, what's kind of driving this recent boom in the CBD industry in our state?
Well, I think a lot of it is generated from a lot of individuals trying to find safer alternatives to things like opioids. Our farmers are interested in trying to diversify their portfolios when we're in a five-year low of a farm economy. And really, this is an opportunity for us to grow a new industry here in the state of Wisconsin. We would not have hemp in the state if it weren't for the 2014 federal farm bill that was passed by Congress, signed into law by President Obama, which opened it up to the states. And so when I was approached last session by State Representative J.C. Kramer to be the lead author on it, although I was skeptical at first because I didn't do my homework, I realized that there are so many different applications for hemp here in the state of Wisconsin, and CBD being one of those. And I myself am a CBD user. I've been using it now for about 6 months. I originally got CBD to help with arthritis in my lower back from powerlifting, but now I've been taking it before bed and I've never slept better. And so you're seeing a lot of interest, and you've seen a lot of new businesses start up all across the state because there is such a huge interest and demand for a safe legal product that is CBD. Now, it's important to note there is some confusion out there. I mean, you can get CBD from a couple of different ways. From industrial hemp, where it cannot contain any more than 0.3% THC concentration, which is safe and legal. So operators all around the state who are operating within that program have that certainty under the law, provided they don't go above that threshold, that, you know, consumers, retailers, producers, processors, that it is legal. I think where there's some confusion that gets brought up is under Wisconsin's Lydia law, because you can derive CBD with THC concentrations greater than 0.3% THC if you have a doctor's note. So there's kind of two paths to get to CBD, but the biggest takeaway is that if it's derived from hemp, it's legal.
Yeah, I want to dig more into the laws that do surround CBD. And so, Jeff, I wonder if you can kind of guide us through that, starting with the federal laws around CBD, you know, what those say currently about the product.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's relatively straightforward in terms of the progression of the law. Now, I think at this point, the laws are very general. And so there's a lot of uncertainty maybe in the gray spaces of the law. But for now, I think the 2014 law allowed states, including Wisconsin, to grow hemp, which is a plant that is below 0.3% THC. So states are allowed to grow hemp, but only as part of pilot programs, only as part of research programs. So that was the state of the law in 2014. 2018, the law was expanded to allow broader access and to explicitly make CBD below 0.3% THC legal. So from a federal perspective, all of that has become legal. Wisconsin has a growing pilot program. There's some talk that will leave pilot program in 2020 and will become an industrial program. As of now, the State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has not released what the rules will be for 2020. So for now, we're still in a pilot program environment. And that largely controls the growing and processing of hemp and CBD here in this state.
Jeff, do we feel like the legal community and the law enforcement community in our state, do they have clear guidance on how to kind of regulate and interact with these products in the real world?
I think the short answer to that question is no. The longer answer is I think frankly growing is relatively straightforward. I think if you are a farmer in the state of Wisconsin and you want to grow hemp, I think there are lots of rules that are put in place for how to do that. I think that currently, as I mentioned, it's a pilot grower program, so as long as you have any sort of research hook, and the research does not need to be something that's, you know, run through a state-approved university or anything like that, it could be simply our research is to determine what the market impact of CBD is, right? So it can be a very generalized research. And then as long as you describe where the hemp is being grown, you have to give GPS coordinates of the fields, describe what your security protocols are, and get registered with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. As long as you file for those licenses, then you can grow in the state of Wisconsin. I think growing is all relatively straightforward. The processing of hemp is a little less straightforward, only because the end product is sort of unknown. There's lots of gray area in what form the end product is allowed to take. And then on the retail, in terms of whether it can be in sort of a pure oil form or whether it can be introduced as food or a, quote, dietary supplement, then those things are very are not as straightforward. And then from a retail perspective, the end product, as I mentioned, whether you're selling it in oil, whether you're selling it as a dietary supplement, or whether you're selling it in food, again, it directly impacts the retail environment. And then a lot of the drug claims are what are bringing the attention of the Food and Drug Administration.
That's Jeff Glazer from UW-Madison's Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic. Here with us today to talk about CBD as more local retailers open stores and add the product to their shelves. He's joined by Republican Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point, Tim Murphy of Kickapoo Kind in Viroqua, and Dr. Brent Bauer from Mayo Clinic in Rochester. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Senator Teston, I wonder what your thoughts are on kind of the state of the legal code around CBD. I mean, do you feel like law enforcement and the legal community have clear guidelines when it comes to kind of on the ground regulating its use?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges that we face right now is that, as is just mentioned, the USDA interprets CBD as a drug, and then there's different interpretations of that law within different federal agencies, and then we've even had problems at times with different interpretations of the law at the state level from different agencies, whether it's DOJ, DACAP, or what have you. And that's one thing that we're really trying to clear up with the trailer bill that we have out there that is going to modify our program, make it a permanent program, but that also make it a little bit more user-friendly for those who operate within that program, from the farmer to the processor to the retailer. And one of the biggest components that we have in the legislation that is currently working its way through the legislature is to have a truth in labeling component. Because this was brought up under Attorney General Schimmel when he was in office as the Attorney General, that there were a number of times when products not necessarily from Wisconsin, they were coming in from other states like Colorado or Oregon, that claimed to be CBD within the safe legal limit, either had no CBD in it whatsoever, or it was a product that it was definitely not claiming to be by having more than the allowable amount of THC. So we do want to provide certainty in the marketplace, not just for law enforcement, but also for consumers. So when they go into a shop, they know that this product is what it claims to be. And I think that's going to alleviate a lot of the concerns that law enforcement has. Because by and large, I mean, when law enforcement officers do a traffic stop, if they have a canine with them, they are going to hit on a hemp product, whether it's CBD, whether it's CBD oil, whether it's just hemp flower, because the dogs hit on the terpenes, not the THC concentration. And what I've tried to relay to law enforcement is that whether or not you're supportive of hemp or CBD products, the changes that were made in the 2018 Farm Bill that was signed into law by President Trump, it was a game changer. I mean, Congress did things that we did not expect by, one, taking industrial hemp off of the controlled substance list, and then opening up for interstate commerce. So whether law enforcement likes it or not, hemp is coming through the Badger State one way or another. And while that makes law enforcement's job a little bit more difficult, because if they encounter whether it's hemp flower or CBD products in a traffic stop or in any other setting, they're going to have to do a little bit more homework and research to make sure that that's a legal product. But that's why we want to make sure that the Wisconsin hemp industry is kind of the gold standard, so that way consumers know a Wisconsin-made and Wisconsin-grown product is exactly what it claims to be.
Yeah, Tim, I wonder, you know, as a retailer of CBD products, what your experience has been with local law enforcement. I imagine that, you know, you've had to have conversations because of the kind of proximity or relationship between CBD products from hemp and marijuana.
You actually would expect that. In the community that I'm in, they were one of the first communities to request information on the hemp and on CBD growing. So when it came to time to open my retail shop, they already knew about it. They were already on board. They already knew. The mayor in town is totally takes CBD. So I haven't had any questions as far as the police coming in questioning what I'm selling. I have had people get pulled over that have reported that they've gotten pulled over. And in my specific county, Vernon County, I know that they're not worried about it. I've had more than people, one person tell me that's not their biggest problem right now. So, I haven't had that issue so far. I know there is other shops that are getting questioned all the time. They're getting potentially harassed by their local police on some level. But as far as our shop goes, I haven't had any issues. I haven't had a single problem.
I'm curious, though, when you were, you know, in the process of looking into opening your shop and in that process, you know, were these questions around just kind of the state of the laws evolving around CBD products? I mean, was that a concern for you?
We opened during still wasn't federal legalization yet, so there was a lot of gray area. All the products that you're talking about, you know, coming from out of state, because there is no in-state products at that point. You know, I really had to vet a lot of the products, and I found a lot of products that didn't pass their testings. They didn't pass what, you know, they didn't have 10 milligrams of CBD like they were supposed to. It's still an issue across the board. It's still going to be an issue as we go forward. It's not going away anytime fast, because everybody's just looking to slap their name on a label right now and profit from the huge boom of CBD right now.
Yeah, Jeff, I've heard this described as kind of the wild, wild west when it comes to CBD products and just people trying to get into the hemp industry right now. I just wonder, you know, kind of what that means for entrepreneurs, for people who are looking to get into this business.
Yeah, I mean, I think understanding what the supply chain looks like would be extremely important. I think, you know, like was mentioned, there's still a lot of uncertainty around sort of the final form of the product. So if you're a processor, what is the product actually going to look like? But I think even more important than that, one of the things that we're seeing is as growers are getting started, they're having trouble finding processors. There's still not a whole lot of processors in the state that are capable of handling any sort of quantity. So if you're a grower who's going to buy your product, if you're a processor, where are you going to source your product in a way that you can be sure that it's meeting the state required limits? And then if you're a processor, who are you going to sell it to? You know, sort of understanding the supply chain is really important, especially when it comes to some of the nuances of, for example, FDA guidance that says you're not allowed to have CBD in food products, but you have a Wisconsin statute or you have a Wisconsin interpretation that says, well, as long as the product is made entirely in the state, then maybe it can have some food. You know, maybe you can put it in food. So really understanding where the product is coming from and where it's going to is super important from an entrepreneurship, from a trying to get started in the industry perspective.
Tim, I wonder if you could share a little bit about what drew you to the hemp industry, to the CBD industry.
I started treating my dad for Parkinson's with CBD about seven years ago, and there was just nothing that was helping him. And I started buying it at that point and started giving it to him, and it really was doing a lot of good. So that's what really introduced me to CBD. Bringing me to the market, I jumped, me and a couple other guys jumped on the farmer bandwagon right as soon as we could last year. So March of last year, we got our permit, and we were fixing to grow hemp for the year. And halfway through the season, I'm like, there's no place to go with it. I don't want to send it out of state because of the still gray areas. I'd like to sell it in state, and there's one place in the whole state at that point that was actually selling CBD products, or a lot of them, or quite a bit of them. And I figured it was an open market for us to try to get into, and we took the risk. I guess it's, I sat on another program. It was kind of dumb luck how we got into it, really. I mean, I've known about cannabis and CBD for years and years and years, but it just was the retail end of it was dumb luck, really.
Has it been what you expected?
It's been amazing. It's really been amazing because of the community we're in. We're super well accepted. And then I have people that come from all over because they find out about our shop and they're like, I want to purchase CBD from this guy, or I like the products that they're selling, or they have a better price than everybody else. You hear all those, but it's just amazing. It's been amazing. I mean, it's been intimidating and a little nerve-wracking at the same time, but I would imagine any business getting started is probably the same way. There's a lot of hurdles to jump over, especially distinguishing hemp from marijuana, because it's if you're rolling down the street with hemp flower in your car, it looks the same, it smells the same, it acts the same. As far as those dogs are concerned, it hits the same. You know, they're hitting on those terpene profiles instead of on that THC content. So it can be a little nerve-wracking, especially we started, I was in a 11 by 8 room. We started our retail in, so literally in a broom closet. And I didn't have a lot of room in there, so I was a lot of times I was rolling around with 5 pounds of hemp flower in my car. You know, never did get pulled over and never have any issues with it. But I was like, oh, the police that pulls me over is going to have a heyday with this. But it never happened. But it's definitely been exciting, you know, and just to meet a lot of different people and then to see people come back and come back again and keep coming back, and they at least think it's helping, whether they know it's helping or not. They at least think it's helping, so that's really important in my mind.
Senator Tustin, this issue of not having a place for farmers who grow CBD hemp to go to sell their products, I've heard from other farmers too, and I wonder if you could talk about how that has really kind of influenced the ability of our hemp industry to kind of grow.
So looking back on it, and those of us who drafted the original hemp bill in 2017, we kind of did a disservice to this industry. One of the components in the original legislation was there was a provision there that said people enrolled in a program, they weren't able to communicate with other people inside that program, and we really hindered the industry in that regard. So in year one, we had 250 growers sign up, and then we had 100 processors sign up, but no one knew who's who and how to connect. And unfortunately, that was one of those things that we did to get assurance from law enforcement and other stakeholders to sign off and support the bill. But it really, I mean, it hampered the industry. And that's why in this new legislation, for those who are enrolled in this program, when it becomes permanent, they will have the option that they want to be able to have their information out there for others to connect with. So that way farmers can connect with farmers to see what practices work best, and also we can get people in touch with processors. Now, as we are in the middle of year two of our hemp program, I mean, we've seen over 1,500 grower applications filed to the state and over 750 processing applications. So they're starting to come online now, and I think one of the main reasons for that is because there was some clarity brought forth in the 2018 Farm Bill. I know my assembly co-author, Representative Tony Kurtz, in year one got his hemp license, but then decided he wasn't going to grow in year one because he just wasn't certain what the rules were. Now in year two, with the passage of the 2018 Farm Bill, I believe he's growing or planted about 30 to 50 acres of hemp. And so I think when that went through, more and more people realized, okay, we can in fact partake in this industry. And what I'm really encouraged by is not just the expansion and the growth that we've seen in just 2 years. By and large, our program is the most successful of any other hemp program in the entire country. But as we try and legitimize this and take away the stigma that has surrounded hemp for years, mostly because of misinformation or poor information that's out there, more and more industries are coming online to help these individuals. You're seeing more financial institutions that are willing to take on credit card processing and actually allow guys like Tim to open up a bank account. I mean, in year one, this was a cash business. And you talk about risk. That is a huge risk for anyone who goes down this endeavor. And then also you're going to see things like crop insurance come up and hail damage from insurance companies. So anything that we can do to legitimize this crop as just another commodity cash crop, it's going to go a long way to ensuring the viability of this industry in years to come.
Republican State Senator Patrick Teston is here with us today to talk about the legal and medical questions surrounding CBD as popularity of the products takes off in southwestern Wisconsin and across the region. He's joined by Tim Murphy of Kickapoo Kind in Viroqua, Dr. Brent Bauer from Mayo Clinic, and Jeff Glazer from UW-Madison's Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on CBD, including what the medical community thinks of the product. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about CBD products, as a growing number of retailers open up sales or add the products to their shelves. Questions persist about the laws surrounding CBD and the medical effectiveness. CBD is praised by users as a medical remedy for epilepsy syndromes, anxiety, insomnia, chronic pain, and more. But how is the medical community handling CBD? Joining us to talk about it is Dr. Brent Bauer, Research Director at Mayo Clinic's Integrative Medicine Program in Rochester, Minnesota. Jeff Glazer, an attorney and associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic. State Senator Patrick Teston, a Republican from Stevens Point. And Tim Murphy, owner of Kickapoo Kind, a CBD retailer in Viroqua. Dr. Bauer, in the first half of the program, you know, you mentioned that we have a lot of preliminary data currently about CBD use, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit about kind of where the medical community, how they see CBD right now. Is there a consensus across the industry?
You know, I don't think there is. I think we have more questions than answers at this point, simply because we're constrained to evaluate a product not based on anecdotes, but on good clinical research. And we have some, right? If you recall the drug Epidiolex is the CBD product, purified CBD product that was approved as a drug to treat two rare forms of epilepsy in children. So we have a drug form of CBD, and we have some information from that that at least touches on some of the concerns about side effects that I think probably are getting a little bit left out of the discussion as people are kind of trying things on their own. And I think most of us from a medical side would like to see our patients bring those questions to us first so they don't get themselves into trouble. And what I mean by that is we do know that CBD products can interfere with other medications. So if you're on certain medications, you add CBD, it could affect the effectiveness of those medications. And with higher doses, we are seeing a number of reports of liver irritation or liver damage. So again, it's not to say that the CBD doesn't hold great promise, but there needs to be a little cautionary tap on the brakes before everybody just tries it willy-nilly, because I think we are seeing a few patients get in trouble with that kind of approach.
Yeah, so how are physicians kind of handling CBD? Is this something that they're asking patients about or putting in medical charts?
I think it's definitely going the other direction. Patients are asking us. They're coming to their physicians. They've often read more or know as much, or if not more, than their physician because they are looking for answers. My approach has been to try and work with them. They've often found a lot of information. And then it's my job to help them make an informed decision so they know where are the risks. Do they have certain medications they're on that could be negatively affected by the cannabidiol? Do they already have some liver problems? I'd be very cautious about adding CBD. But if they do their homework and we work through things together collaboratively, it's much more of a permissive environment where I ask them to really be very careful, try it, record what kind of effects they get so they know if they're actually getting what they think they're getting, and then we watch together with some simple blood tests over time to make sure they're not one of the people that's going to get into trouble or have negative side effects.
How much do you think those conversations in doctors' offices are influenced by the sometimes legal questions that surround CBD?
Well, there's no question. Having it legalized, which obviously makes a lot of sense from my perspective, really helps a lot. When everything is kind of in that very gray area, when CBD was still lumped in with marijuana as a scheduled drug, there really wasn't much sense in having conversations because we sure can't advise patients to do something illegal. Now that we have this window opening up where there's a little more, I would say, a common sense approach to it, I think now we can step in as physicians, as collaborators with our patients and help them make better informed decisions on an individual basis.
And what have the legal changes that we've seen in the last few years meant for the research community? Do we see more, more researchers kind of taking on CBD, in the medical research field, I guess?
Absolutely. I think you alluded to the whole CBD realm as the Wild West, and I think that's certainly true in research. There's a number of trials that have just been started or recently started, all asking different questions about CBD. In addition to pain, anxiety, sleep, there's a lot of interest on whether it could have a role in helping to deal with the opioid epidemic, either as a way to help people get off opioids or maybe as a replacement for opioids in the first place. So a tremendous amount of interest. Unfortunately, research takes time. So I think the medical community is looking at this with cautious interest, but still wanting to make sure people don't forget anything strong enough to help you can also hurt you. So approach everything with a modicum of common sense.
You know, I think some people turn to CBD maybe as an alternative to pharmaceuticals. And so I wonder, Dr. Bauer, what your thoughts are on how CBD, should it be regulated like other pharmaceutical drugs? Or, is this kind of another, I guess, aspect of potentially of medicine?
I like the whole concept of dietary supplements. The idea that there's been things in our culture, in our historical healthcare, herbs like ginseng that have been used successfully by patients or by individuals. And so I like the idea of having our populace having access to those things that don't have to go through the rigorous process of becoming a drug with all the associated costs and regulations. And so I'm very much in favor of having access to these things. What I need, though, as a physician is to make sure I have all the information I need so that patients can make informed decisions. And that just means we really need larger trials, hundreds, if not thousands of patients, some taking CBD, some taking placebo, comparing the outcomes, and where it's positive and safe, then I think we can advocate and be very grateful then that there'll be something on the market that can help those patients who fit those criteria.
Senator Teston, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue of how CBD kind of intersects with the medical industry and where the state should fall in regulating this product as a medical component.
Well, I think you're always going to have some bridges in that regard, and as I was mentioned earlier with Epidiolex and other more concentrated forms of cannabis as a medical component, Epidiolex, Marinol, and some others that are coming down the pipe for FDA approval, absolutely you want to make sure you have the research and the safeguards put in place. But, for guys like Tim who are growing, CBD varietals of hemp on their land and then pressing it for the oil, I'd like to keep it more as a dietary supplement. But going back to it, you always want to do your homework and make sure, and as it was mentioned earlier, consult with your physician so that way you know what you're putting in your body and it's not going to have any conflicts with any other types of medications or things that you're taking. I mean, you want to make sure what you're doing is going to be the right move for you, and that's why anytime anyone approaches me, they get my thoughts and opinions on whether or not they should take CBD. I tell them, well, really, you should have that conversation with your primary care physician first and then go from there. And then work with individuals who, if it is the right route for you to go, work with someone who knows what they're talking about. I mean, right now you can go in just about any convenience store and you're going to see CBD gummies and you're going to see the old types of CBD products. And not to disparage those products or those retailers that are selling, but it's kind of like the old adage, I wouldn't go buy sushi at a gas station. I'm going to go to a place that specializes in sushi. So go work with someone who knows what they're talking about. They have the knowledge, they have the research, so that way you're making an informed decision.
Dr. Bauer, what are your thoughts on, how people might be able to navigate, what Senator Teston is bringing up, the just wide variety of products that's currently on the market right now?
Yeah, again, it's homework, homework, homework. There are a lot of fly-by-night companies out there. There's been a number of studies where the FDA or other industry watchdogs have pulled 10, 20 products off the shelves. Some have THC when they're not supposed to. Some don't have even a fraction of the CBD they're supposed to. So that kind of darkens the whole realm when we have bad actors confounding the people who are trying to bring good products out. So I think you have to do your homework. I think looking for larger companies, looking for folks who have some skin in the game, probably being very skeptical or careful about anything on the internet. And then when you do find a company that you think is a reliable manufacturer, they should have some kind of certification, some kind of analysis that they should be willing to share either on their website or when you ask for it. How do they know that they have less than 0.3% THC? How do they know they don't have insecticides or pesticides in their final product? And a company that's willing to share that type of information and assure you that they've done their homework to try and bring a quality product to the shelf is a really good step in that the right direction.
That's Dr. Brent Bauer from Mayo Clinic in Rochester, here with us today to talk about CBD as more local retailers open stores and add the product to their shelves. He's joined by State Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point, Tim Murphy of Kickapoo Kind in Viroqua, and Jeff Glazer from UW-Madison's Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Tim, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, how the state and also, you know, federal government, you know, how do we move forward on, you know, looking at CBD as a component in the medical industry?
Looking into FDA and USDA and make sure we're putting out quality products. It's everything that these guys have just been talking about. It's a huge problem in this industry. You're seeing just the same thing. Everybody jumping on board and you're seeing bad products out there. So it's a little nerve-wracking on my end, and you know, I hope we get to see better products going forward and maybe even laws that are going to prevent some of this mislabeling and just bad products. Transparency would be nice across the board and on all levels.
You shared earlier in the program that you are actually growing CBD hemp yourself. I wonder if you can share, you know, what kind of processing you're doing? What kind of products are you having in your store? You know, how are you kind of vetting that supply chain, if you will?
Currently, I work with a company that's been in the business for quite a few years, and that's most of my oils and my capsules and things like that come through them. They're third-party tested. They're lab testing for 215 different pesticides and heavy metals, molds, mildews, all that. So mainly that's what I'm doing there as far as the oils. As far as my own product, right now, I do not carry any of my own products in store. We kind of specifically go for a smokable market. So that's what we'll be doing in the fall is more of a smokable hemp products. Those all will be lab tested. They'll be heavy metal tested. Actually, all the stuff that comes off of our farm will be USDA certified organic also. So that's one of the ways that you can vet a product right there. Cannabis is a bioaccumulator. It will pull any toxins or heavy metals from the soil. So seeing USDA organic label on your product is really nice to see, or going back and at least to see that they used certified organic hemp to grow it. It's a great way to vet a product. It doesn't need to be a certified organic product, but your hemp should be grown organically.
So I want to pivot now because, you know, when we're talking about hemp-related products, that is legal, but, you know, marijuana is not legal in the state of Wisconsin. And so, you know, Senator Teston, you mentioned earlier that that local law enforcement don't always have an effective way to tell the difference between the two products. And I wonder if you can talk more about maybe what the state is doing to kind of help law enforcement agencies with this issue.
Well, right now, a lot of it is about education. And one of the biggest troubles that, from my perspective, that I see where law enforcement runs into issues is with their field test. So even if you have a legal hemp product that is below 0.3% THC concentration, when they put it in their field test, it is going to turn purple. Any trace amount of THC is going to test positive. So we've been in, there is a company in Wisconsin that's trying to develop a new field test for law enforcement that will be able to differentiate the concentration of THC, which I think will go a long way. But that's why we're also trying to work with the Badger State Sheriffs and the Wisconsin Police Chiefs Association, is that, and as well as the industry, is that make sure that they have the fit for commerce certificates. These are the certificates that are handed out through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection that basically verify the chain of custody of that product from the farm field to the processor to the retail store, that should give assurance to law enforcement that this is what it claims to be. But more importantly, that's why this truth and labeling component that we're trying to get through is going to provide the utmost certainty for Wisconsin hemp products here in the Badger State to ensure that these are what they claim to be, that they are, in fact, safe and legal. That is going to go a long way to making sure that law enforcement is more comfortable. And in fact, just last week, we got the sign-off from the Badger State Sheriffs as well as DOJ and the Wisconsin Police Chiefs Association that our bill that's currently working its way through the legislature is going to get their support. So I'm confident that through education, through continued outreach, we're going to get more and more people on board.
You know, we have seen neighboring states, Illinois and Michigan, have both recently legalized marijuana, both medicinal and recreational, whereas Minnesota and Iowa, they have medicinal. I mean, I wonder, Jeff, does the proximity of these, marijuana states, does that make this more complicated for retailers and for just kind of the legal community in our state?
I mean, I think the answer is obviously yes. I don't work with law enforcement specifically, but I can only imagine that it causes headaches, and it will continue to cause headaches as recreational marijuana comes online in Illinois and Michigan. That product will flow across the states. I don't think there's any two ways around that. So it will cause problems, I think, with law enforcement. I think the senator's correct that to the extent as a consumer that you can have a label that says this is a fully legal product, so that if you are traveling in the state of Wisconsin with product that's legal to have here, you can show that label to the officer, you can show that product to the officer, and that they can know that this is product that they're allowed to have.
I mean, what does this mean for the retailers, for the people who are looking to get into the CBD industry in our state, to just have these kind of close proximity states and, the potential for, those products to also be kind of entering the marketplace? How would you, advise those retailers to kind of navigate this?
I think for the retailers, the fitness for commerce certificate is extremely important, right? The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection issues that to the grower, and that passes through the chain of custody all the way down to the retailer. And so having retailers be able to be transparent about the legality and the source of their product is extremely important to be able to differentiate between what's legal and what's illegal. Only the senator can tell you whether simply legalizing everything is on the books or not. But to the extent we have a gap between what's legal in other states and what's legal here, or even mandating that retailers be as transparent as possible about holding legal product is extremely important.
Senator Teston, what are your thoughts on the future of marijuana in our state? Is that something that we might see lawmakers consider?
Well, I know in conversations that I've had, we've actually in my office have been working on a medical cannabis bill since last year. And it was earlier in the year I reached out to one of my Democratic colleagues who in years past has sponsored a medical cannabis bill. And I said, hey, it would be great if we could sit down and talk about this and make this a bipartisan issue. And what amazed me is when we sat down, we looked over our drafts. I mean, we had a very similar framework. I would love to get to a point where we have a medical cannabis program here in the state of Wisconsin. I think you have seen the view shifted dramatically as it relates to medical cannabis in the last 10 years. And going back to the fact that in some regard, we do have legal medical cannabis already through Epidiolex and Marinol and other products that are coming down. For me, it stems from a personal story from when my grandfather was dying of cancer back in 2000. He smoked marijuana illegally. And he was a guy about my size, a big guy, but he withered away to virtually nothing. And he smoked marijuana. Granted, it was illegally, but it was the only thing that kept his appetite. And so he's able to actually keep food down as opposed to just having to come back up after he ate it. So I think it gave him more time on this earth that he otherwise wouldn't have had. The political reality is that we're still, I think, a ways off on a medical cannabis bill passing the legislature. When I've talked to some of my colleagues in the Senate Republican caucus, they're just not there yet for a number of different reasons. And so it's going to be one of those that's going to take some time, but I firmly believe we're going to get to a point that we'll have a cannabis program here in the state of Wisconsin. Recreational, I'm still not there yet, but I know I'm not naive. You see the trends that are shifting. You see more and more states that are adopting recreational programs. I think we'll get there at some point, at some day and age. But for right now, I'm trying to focus on the hemp program and then also trying to educate my colleagues on the potential benefits and uses for medical marijuana.
Do you think Wisconsin kind of becoming an island in a sea of marijuana legal states, whether medicinal or totally legal, do you think that's going to influence the legislature to take action on this issue?
It's going to add pressure. I know in some conversations I've had with some of my Republican colleagues, people who in years previous have said, nope, don't support it, they're kind of shifting their tune just because more and more people are reaching out. And even when I go to Republican Party events, I have people coming up to me and saying, when are we going to get medical marijuana? Heck, I even had a potato farmer in my district a couple weeks ago when I went and stopped by his operation. He was asking me about it out of the blue. And so more and more people are interested in it. And, whether it's veterans, whether it's, people with chronic pain, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to town hall meetings and I've had veterans come up to me and pull me aside and they're practically in tears, talking about all the opioids and prescriptions that they were prescribed from the VA, and they're breaking down because they have to go out and commit an illegal act to get the only thing that gives them relief that all these opioids and other prescription drugs couldn't give them. So I'm hopeful, I'm supportive, and I'm hopeful within this session yet we're going to get a bill out there and we can continue to kickstart this conversation.
Dr. Bauer, you're based in Minnesota in Rochester. I wonder how Mayo Clinic has been handling medical marijuana being legal in your state.
Yeah, I can't speak for the whole clinic, but I can tell you from our own clinical practice, we've been very slow to jump in. It's a fairly complex process. There's a lot of rules and regulations. It's been hard to find supplies. It's been hard to navigate all of that. So I'm waiting for our legal colleagues to make it a little easier for us to both access good quality products and make it easier for our patients then to use them. Right now, it's really a very complex process here in Minnesota.
Do you think it's going to require more education for our medical providers to kind of understand when and how to prescribe these sorts of products?
Absolutely. I think the beauty is there's so many great protocols going on right now. People are doing great research studies that I think are going to come back out and help us put. I mean, right now, CBD is riding a wave that's impossibly high, right? People are claiming it for everything. And we know those tales never last. But it's eventually going to find its niche. And I think the same thing will be true for marijuana. If we can find out where are those unique niches that we don't have a better answer for, then by all means, to help a patient, I think we want to have access to that. We just have to temper that enthusiasm with a little cautionary note, because we have seen people harmed by marijuana. We do see young people in particular have some probably irrevocable brain changes with heavy use. So there's a lot of questions that aren't just as simple as make it legal or don't make it legal, but even when legal, how do we do it in a way that we pick the right people and they use it in the right way to get the benefits and not the harms? Because that's ultimately what I think everybody wants that. It's just how do we get there in a very complex and challenging realm where the states are somewhat different than the federal, and state from state is variable. And it's a challenging area, but one that I think education and more experience and more research is really changing the attitudes fairly quickly.
Very briefly, as we wrap up here, Tim, I wonder what your thoughts are on kind of the future of marijuana in our state, and if we were to see medical use, for instance, come into our state, is that something, an industry that you would, maybe think about expanding into?
That's the number one question I get asked in my shop. I don't think there's been a person in there that hasn't asked me that, when is it going to become legal? If it does, for me, it's all up to the law. It's all up to the laws, how it's going to affect me. I'm on board with medical. I have no problem with it. I have no problem with recreational. I think recreational is a misused term because people are getting the medical benefits, whether they know it or not. But I definitely would be on board with it as soon as I could be. It's amazing how many people actually ask me about that, because it's definitely changing. You know, people's opinion about it has definitely changed.
Tim Murphy of Kickapoo Kind in Viroqua, Dr. Brent Bauer from Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, Jeff Glazer from UW-Madison's Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic, and Republican State Senator Patrick Teston of Stevens Point joined us to talk about the medical and legal issues around CBD. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.